This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
And I was just telling you in the break there, I found a great show on Paramount Plus. It's amazing. It's Mobland.
Oh, I've heard about Mobland. Yeah. Yeah,
Pierce Brosnan is in it, and my favorite actor is in it right
now. Your favorite actor?
In today's world, my favorite actor is Tom Hardy.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
The guy is awesome, and he plays like a fixer-cleaner in this British crime drama.
And so they go straight British with this
thing. Yeah, yeah.
Tom Hardy's not doing an American accent.
He's right in the middle of it doing his thing, and he's great in it. And I would suggest it for anybody on Paramount Plus. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, and Helen Mirren's in that too.
She is.
Did they call her Dane Helen Mirren now? No. Is she like knighted or something?
Yeah, she's something like that. I don't know, but she's pretty awesome in it as well. I mean, she's a. She's the grandmother of the family.
Okay.
You know, and Pierce Brosnan is the grandfather of the family. That is the crime family, one of the crime families. And Tom Hardy is one of the sons of the Harringtons.
Yeah,
and I love it because I love that. I love those actors, but Tom Hardy is awesome in it.
You know, when you say like your favorite actor, I have to like take a second to think about who my favorite actor would be right now.
Right now, yes.
There is a guy though that I think is tremendous, and he plays always like strange guys. He's not a totally well known person, but because he's got a look about him, so they always cast him as like a weirdo. And that's Michael Shannon. You know Michael Shannon?
Yes.
If you Google him, you see his face, you'll know. I think Michael Shannon is tremendous.
You like Adrian Brody?
I do, yeah. No. I do. Not my favorite, but a good one. I also like Walter Goggins right now, who's doing a tremendous job. It's funny when you say like your favorite actor. Favorite color back in the day.
The other day I was walking around here and I think I walked past Ryan Reynolds.
What?
Yeah, and I think we both kind of looked at each other like, do I know you?
Yeah.
I kind of had a weird look at each other, and then we just kept walking.
So this was not in the building?
No. It was out on the street right
out. Okay. Wow. Would you have stopped him if you knew for a fact it was Ryan Reynolds?
I caught a glimpse pretty quick, and he caught a glimpse of me. And I think he's like, looked at me with a strange face, and I looked at him with a strange face, and I was just trying to think. I'm like, it didn't come to me right away.
Yeah. And he said to you, hey, Phil Simms, you said to him, hey, Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, so that was I thought that was an interesting dynamic, and I felt it. You know what I mean? Like, you know how you feel something?
Yeah.
Like, you knew that you noticed each other, and you knew each other, but you weren't sure what to say to each other.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, I mean, I
was going to say something about Mint cell phones or something.
Yeah, I have that feeling every day I come home, and I see Gina. I know you, I just don't know what to say to you. You know what I'm saying?
By the way, did you, I mean, social media is amazing. The AI with boxes on our head yesterday.
It was just, yeah, everything was.
I cried laughing looking at that. I was laughing. I wanted to open a show with a box in my head today.
Well, there's plenty of them back there if you need one.
No, they actually got cleaned out.
Oh, yeah.
So who, that had to be Youssef, right?
I'm sure, yeah.
It was Youssef.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, probably all over
Allie was giving me such attitude this morning.
Yeah, I know, same here.
I'm like, she got all like bent out of shape over it.
I know, it's incredible. She goes, I'm done with you. I was like, all right, well, it took you 8 years. It's fine with me. I was like, I don't want to talk to anybody in the morning.
I mean, she was giving me so much heat this morning.
Yeah, it's just, that was her thing. She was fighting back.
A lot of people came to your defense.
Yeah, lots of people.
But then there are a lot of other people that didn't come to your defense, which is usually the case.
It's just what I think your daughter said it best. She either texted you or put it out on social media and said that, you know, garbage and cars are two things that the women are not going to do anything about.
Exactly. We'll do everything else but that.
Yeah. And they do. They do everything else. And if this were the female version of our show, and they were going back and forth. They'd have all sorts of things that they would yell at us about, like leaving laundry on the floor or whatever, so the dish in the
dish
sink,
in the sink, whatever, yes.
Stuff like that, you know? Then they'd get all over us for it. But it is true. Garbage and cars.
And golf.
Well, yeah.
Garbage, cars, and golf.
Yeah, well, yes. There are some women that do play golf, but yes, that's also our thing. Like, just like Gina said the other day, could you text Doug Wells? I need a service. I'm like, you have his number, don't you? But I said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll take
garbage and cars. That's where I live.
Yes. Just stay in your lane there, Gina.
You got cardboard, you got garbage, you need your car serviced.
I'm here for you. That's the way that it works. By the way, I said the other day that the Tony DeCoppel interview was only like, it was like a one-day thing. And how it was just like that day we would have him, but there's new information out now. So,
okay.
So I think that we're going to have to extend that to either today or tomorrow. So Stephen Waldron of CBS Sports, you're back on the clock with the Tony DeCoppel interview. We would like him either today or tomorrow.
Is he still in court up in Boston?
Yeah, is he still up? No, he's got to be back by now, Stephen, yes? Stephen? Hello? Stephen Walder?
Yeah, he's back on the show.
Oh, okay. Oh, he's back on the
show. All right, good. 9 o'clock today?
Yeah, I'll try for 9:01.
9:01?
All right.
Well, any time between 9 and 10.
And this is for today or tomorrow?
Yeah, today or tomorrow. Yeah.
Okay. All right, I'm on it.
We're just trying to promote him.
And by the way, in this whole Jordan Hudson versus CBS thing, we're on CBS's side. And we could easily get Jordan Hudson or Bill Belichick on. But, you know, we're deciding to go with Tony DeCoppel instead because that's our guy. He is our guy. He's a colleague, Stephen. So just tell him, you know, we're not going to be grilling him. We're not Jordan Hudson. We're not going to storm
him
out.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't do anything. I mean, I don't think he did anything
Nothing.
Wrong.
So, yeah, we're going to ask him to release the tape, the full 35-minute tape of this whole thing. But we want to talk to Tony. But what was the feedback last time when you tried to get him? Did it seem promising, like maybe another time, or did they just shut you down?
Didn't seem too promising, but I'll try
it didn't seem too promising. Well, what did they say?
I'm not going to say it on the air.
He doesn't sound good today.
Yeah.
He sounds very sad.
You sad, Stephen?
Yeah, I'm sad. I couldn't get Tony for you guys.
Well, you got two more opportunities.
Yeah.
Do we have to kick this up the flagpole? Do we have to get somebody more important on
you
this?
You got to get a higher up involved?
No, I'm on it. Don't worry.
And by the way, how bad of this response email could have been where you're not going to say on the air what they said? Like generally in those emails, it's like, sorry, we can't do it today. Tony's up in Boston, maybe some other time. Hey, Stephen, great to hear from you. Hope all is well. Tony is unavailable today. I mean, what did they say? Like, screw those guys. We hate them.
No, I'm not going to say what they said. It's nothing bad. It's just respect the privacy.
Oh, okay. Respect the privacy in some just innocuous email that says, hey, Steven, sorry, can't do it today.
Nothing about no-telling hacks.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, tell that Gio to stuff it up his ass. That loser. My nephew's Jackson Dart.
That would be something.
Yeah. So, Steven, do you feel confident today or tomorrow? Tony?
I'll let you know. I'll give you an hour.
Yeah, this is not happening.
Instill any confidence
None.
In anything.
Yeah. I mean, the story's only gotten bigger, but I will certainly try again.
Well, but they're putting out statements about it. Like, why would they run from that? Especially here, where this is a safe space for Tony DeCoppel.
Safe space.
Safe space. We're on his side. We just want to hear it. Want to talk to him. Huh?
I would hope it's a safe space.
Yeah, of course. We're colleagues.
We're not going to grow.
What do you think we're going to do?
All he did was sit down and do an interview with Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
That's what he did. We just want to get the flavor of that interview.
Like, he can handle Jordan Hudson. He can handle Boomer and Geo.
Exactly.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to pull out the vajankles during the interview and ask him about that or anything, Stephen. I mean, come on.
You never know. Gee.
I mean, you do never know, but I'm telling you.
We will go full professional just for you, Stephen, just so we don't embarrass you.
Right. We know full professional. We can go full professional. You got to trust us.
I went full professional yesterday for 4 hours.
Yeah, game time.
And game time. That's right.
Yeah, they transformed this whole place into a game time thing. They were putting up signs, game time this way, game time on air, game time.
Well, we're finally back in studio, so what can I tell you?
Yeah, you know what?
They've taken over the space.
You know what game time does?
What does game time do?
They actually book the guests. They get them. Yeah, unlike Stephen Waldron, who cannot get CBS guests.
And how big was your crew? It was like 30 people?
Well, Steve Apria is right in the middle of it, too, by the way. That's very interesting dynamic. He's doing a good job, though, I got to say that. You know, when he gets to be, like, in his professional mode, there's nobody better.
Yeah. Steve Apria?
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, you know.
You just got to get him in the professional mode.
Yeah, yeah. When he's in the morning and half asleep, it's a little tough. Hey, turn the mic on.
Yeah, right.
Turn my mic on.
Yeah, all right. Well, should we incentivize this guest thing for Steven? Is there something we could do, around a golf we could offer him or something like that to get him moving on this? Because he seems completely defeated already.
I mean, Steven, if we do our Pebble Beach trip, do you want to come with us to Pebble?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll get Tony to go.
There's only one way that's going to happen.
Yeah, get Tony on. Either today or tomorrow, okay?
You got it, guys.
All right.
All right, set it up, man. Yeah. We're in communications. We're in entertainment. And, you're producing us, so let's get this thing done.
Thank you, Eddie.
You know, I got a little scuttlebutt on Steve.
Oh, there we go. I love it.
Got a little scuttlebutt on him.
You do?
Yeah, they got a nickname for him back there. Because he sounds like a defeated guy here.
Yes.
Apparently, he's a big taskmaster back there.
Taskmaster. Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah,
but that's the way he should be because of what he does for a living.
They call him Stephen Warden.
That's He's what the they call warden.
Him. They call him Stephen Warden.
Has he ever heard that?
I don't know, Stephen. You ever hear that?
No, but I'd like to be referred to that going forward.
You've never heard of that. You've never heard us being referred to as the warden.
No, it's got a nice ring to it, though.
Yeah, see?
That's what they're... That, I like it.
See, that energy that you have with your underlings over there in that little box that they put you in, that's the same energy we need in those emails to the CBS News people to get Tony DeCopel on, okay?
The warden is on it.
All right.
All right.
See? All right, now pull his fader down. I mean, it's like jumping a car, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you got to get the right thing going. It's like we got to put the jumper cables on his nipples. Why is it that we got to fire everybody up? What is it about that?
Yeah, I don't know. You know what I mean?
CeeLo, $75 he had raised, and we had to jump him, and now he's done an amazing job over $20,000.
$25,000.
But yes. He wasn't doing anything until we jumped him.
Yeah, well, it's not so much jumping him as it is inspiring them. Inspiring them to greater heights.
Yeah.
And getting them to do something that they didn't think was possible.
Exactly.
That's the point, and that's who we are. That's what we do. We do that for everybody.
Man, oh man.
We bring out the best in everybody because we put pressure on them.
Well, yeah, and I think that in the end, it ends up being a great story and you feel accomplished. And like he said that day that Jay Wright, he got his Jay Wright. He was thrilled with that.
So happy we got Jay Wright, the guy that doesn't coach anymore.
Well, he worked for CBS and he was breaking down the tournament, but it was good. It's good. He went through to CBS people for that.
Yeah, I bet you if you asked him to get John Rothstein, and John Rothstein told you how great St. John's transfers have been and how great they're going to be this coming basketball season, you'd be excited.
John Rothstein would run here if we offered him to come on.
Okay.
And he could be in Nebraska, and he would sprint here.
Boring.
To get on the show.
Yeah, but he knows his stuff. You got to give him that.
Yeah, certainly. He does.
He knows college basketball.
You know, he got into a car accident. That he almost died in, changed his whole perspective on life.
Really? I didn't know that. When did that happen?
I want to say, let's see, what is it, 2025? I want to say this was like 2016.
By the way, who is the actor that John Rothstein looks like? He looks like an actor, and I just can't come up with it.
Maybe the ex people could figure that out. I can't figure that out. I don't know who he looks like. I don't see anything in there.
2017 John Rothstein accident.
Oh, okay. 2017.
Who does he look like as an actor? I can't think of the guy's name.
I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it. But
I'm telling you, when I come up with this actor, you'll know who it is. But maybe Al will come up with the actor.
Not looking familiar.
Well, who played the Ken doll?
Nah, he doesn't look like the Ken doll.
No, that's...
Isn't that Ryan Gosling?
Yes, but that's Evan Washburn is the Ken doll. Rothstein, not the Ken doll.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, but next time you see John Rothstein, ask him about that car accident thing. Very interesting. Gives you a little, you know, one of those, you see the light spots, you know, and then you come back to Earth and you're like, man, like, I got to appreciate every moment. Like, he had like an out-of-body experience thing going on.
Really?
I can totally understand that.
Yeah.
Did he die at all?
I don't remember if it was like, was he tech? I don't think so.
Like, you ever talk to somebody that, I have actually spoken to people who have died on the operating table and been brought back to life.
Yeah, I don't think John was that. I'm not positive. I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
I had a friend that jumped out of a car, smashed his head on a curb, and had three different brain surgeries, and I think he died twice on the operating table.
Jesus Christ. Is this person still alive?
Yes, and very successful. And an amazing person.
That is amazing. Wow. Yeah. Well, anyway, yeah.
You know why he jumped out of the car?
Why did he jump out of the car? It was a snake in there or something, some sort of insect animal. He was on PCP. Fight with a wife.
Yes. Okay. This is way back when in the 80s, man.
Well, you could still jump out of cars. Now you can't
do it.
And
my man is still kicking. Like, you can't believe it. And you know who he is. And we have a mutual friend who knows who he is in the horse racing community.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's great.
Speaking of that, we got the Kentucky Derby.
Right, I know. We got to get a pick. Are we going to get a pick?
Yeah, we'll get a pick. We'll definitely get a pick.
We need a pick.
We'll get a pick.
All right.
We'll get a pick by Friday. Okay. A lot of pressure on us because we delivered last year. Remember that?
Yes.
We delivered last year, so we're going to have to do it again.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco back. Sports update. What's happening, Jerry?
You know, I was going to start with some basketball and football, but because I just found some fun stuff from last hour, I'll do the baseball first, and then I'll get to some other things. I'll knock out the Yankees, as they did lose to the Orioles 5-4, 18-13 as they end the month in first place. I will get you the Thrivewell player of the game, though, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion, and it is not, I mean, it's going to be an idiot not to pick this guy. It's none other than Aaron Judge.
Pitch, swing on a high fly ball straight away center field, giving ground Mullins. He's looking up, just the spectator. That's out of here. 2-0 already. Aaron Judge with a home run, his 10th RBI's 30-31. And right at the get-go for the second consecutive night, the Yankees hit a home run.
Yeah, and it was Judge once again, and he is our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit thrivewellinfusion.com. But again, it does come in a loss as the Orioles get to 12-18. They scored 4 runs in the second as they bounce back. Home runs for Arias and Mountcastle. Here was Judge in terms of falling, but where they are in the standings.
I mean, the most important thing is, you know, just trying to stay in first place. You know, that's what it's all about, especially at our division. We got a tough division, so, you know, you don't like losing, you know, dropping series against a division rival here, but, you know, keeping hold of first place, that's what it's all about.
Billy Joel in the background.
He is kind of right, though. I mean, this may recharge the Orioles.
Yeah, it could.
They've been horrendous.
They
haven't been as bad as Colorado or the White Sox, but they've been horrendous.
I'll get to Colorado. They won
Colorado,
a game last
baby.
Night. How about that?
Did they win yesterday?
They did. They beat the Braves 2-1.
All right.
There was not much. Matter of fact, so
that goes to show you right there that, you know, you just never know what can happen in baseball.
That's why you play the game.
Here's a 1-1 pitch to Brent Doyle. And it's hit well to left. Doyle. Going back is White. Warning track and wall. Gone! A laser shot to left field that just clears the wall.
And so that is just their, that's Rockies Radio, just their 5th win of the season. They're 5-25. How about this game? This is in Colorado, I believe. The Braves had 3 hits. The Rockies had 4.
Was it cold?
I couldn't tell you. I didn't see the highlights. I only have the
sound
the
like
audio.
There were some fans there.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it is the Braves. I don't know. Whatever.
Have you ever been to that stadium? I've been to that stadium.
I have not. Looks awesome, though.
Yeah, it's a cool place.
I have not been there. As for the Mets, they did fall to the Diamondbacks. They gave it one hell of a try, though, at the end, but just couldn't get enough offense.
Swing and a slow hit, chopper to third. Backing up Suarez, he backhands, throws to first in time, and the ball game is over. The Mets' eight-game home winning streak comes to an end, but not without a fight, as they sent eight men to the plate in the ninth inning.
Yep. Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
Hi, I'm Howie Rose.
And they couldn't push enough runs across.
All right, so let me ask you a question. I don't want to get on this young kid too bad, but how would you describe thus far the career for Francisco Alvarez for the Mets?
Underwhelming offensively, but promising.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, spotty offensively was what I was going to say. He's shown real flashes. You know he's working his ass off. You know that he cares. He was devastated last year that he didn't contribute more offensively in the series against the Dodgers, but I still think that there's a lot of potential there.
I still think he gets up there and he just swings for the fences every time. And I don't know. It just feels like he's trying to
home
run. Yeah.
Plate discipline. That's what we need from him.
And that was actually...
What is his hard hit ball rate?
Probably not great. Yeah.
It's in the 97th percentile.
92nd percentile average exit velo, 85% hard hit rate, 95% squared up rate, 92% chase rate, 95% walk rate, 84% K rate, 86% fielding run value, and 95% range. His whiff rate and his K rate is still 88th percentile and 92%. I'm looking at a spray chart going oppo.
Oh, my God. What an explosion.
That is a lot of stats.
So there you go. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, but that was about Juan Soto.
Oh, okay. That was about Juan Soto. That
is, I wanted that is to know true. About, you know, maybe Francisco Alvarez's chase rate and hard hit ball rate and barreled up rate and this rate and that rate.
Going oppo.
If you would like, I would be more than happy to look those up for you.
Oh, that would be great, Jerry. Thank you.
I would the hard hit rate and the whiff rate. I actually think the chase rate is a very good one, believe it or not, but we'll see.
You're a big chase rate guy.
I think, yes. So this would be my guess. I haven't looked into it. I don't look at it every day like Brandon does. My guess would be that Pete Alonso's chase rate last year was atrocious.
It was, and it's very low this year. And this year much better.
I would think.
No question about it.
So last hour, since we played Howie, he was part of this. Gio was recounting. We talked about Chris Majkowski, 5,000 straight games. They honored him last night, which is just amazing. And years ago when he was working the Mets broadcast and working with Madge, when Joe's daughter was on the board, they were in commercial and they go to break. And as the game is in break, there's a brawl on the field. Sam left his fader up by mistake. And so this was on the air. No. Oh, it was not on the air?
It was not on the air.
Oh, I thought it was.
No. It was not on the air. We ended up playing it later, so he knows about it.
We took this from the newsroom?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is why he was so upset, is because it was just
hilarious.
Commercials on the air, and then they wanted to be back, so he was screaming.
But you know, all these years, I thought that was on the air, and the commercials weren't being played properly, and there was a cross.
No.
Oh,
nope.
It's even funnier.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's how you made Madge sound, and then I'll play the 30 seconds, and then we'll see how close you are. It's pretty close.
Get back. Get out of the goddamn spot. There's a brawl here. Get out of the spot.
All right. So now here's your 30. There's some pauses. I don't have enough time to edit it all together, but here's the 30 seconds of when it happened.
Bring it back, guys. Bring it back after this spot. Now, bring it now. Get out of the spot.
Who was it with?
Get out of the spot.
And Reyes?
There's a little pause.
Get out of the goddamn spot!
If they don't even know it.
We got a goddamn brawl here. Get out of the goddamn spot.
That is awesome.
Get back. Get out of the goddamn spot. There's a brawl here. Get out of the spot.
You were right on it, man.
That is pretty close.
Yes.
Oh, that is really funny.
Well, that's an honor of his 5,000th broadcast.
Yeah, and there was a subtle thing in that. So when they do go back, because you hear Howie's pissed, too. When they do come back, Howie does in this sarcastic, while we were away, this happened.
Oh, yeah. Very funny.
We got a goddamn brawl here. Get out of the goddamn spot.
Love you, Madge.
That's great.
He was yelling at who? Who was that?
Sam Beningo was running
Joe's
the board.
Daughter.
Yeah. So when she pulled down their fader, she didn't put it in cue, meaning that you couldn't hear what was happening. So she's just hearing the commercials being played. She's not knowing what's going on. He's yelling to nobody, except it's coming through on the newsroom speaker. And wow. Then someone ran
why,
in.
Why was it coming through the newsroom
because
speaker?
You want to record the clean feed without any of the commercials or the elemental music.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, if there's a great highlight to end an inning, we have to hit the music on the board, but it would not be on the clean feed.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. Now I get a
goddamn brawl here.
She's obviously can't hear.
We got a goddamn brawl here. Get out of the goddamn spot.
Okay, yeah, because as a board up, you're supposed to leave a remote in queue in case something like that happens.
Yeah.
That you can yell, hey, let's bring it back.
And was Sam normally doing this, or was she filling in for somebody?
No, she was part-time.
She was, okay.
But not as experienced as some, and it happens.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad it happened.
Yeah, no, and by the way, this was like 18 years ago.
Has to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like we're you know,
yeah, was
uncovering
broadcast.
Some
was broadcast
sort of
cast like 600.
Yeah. Right. True.
Amazing when you think about all the years. So, congratulations to him. A lot going on with Bill Belichick, as you guys have discussed, with his girlfriend in the CBS interview. Noted legendary football analyst, Al Dukes, with a big prediction today on the warm-up show that did lead to a bet between the two of us.
Bill Belichick will not coach a single game for UNC. And you can put my name on it.
Okay. That is his big prediction. So if that does happen.
Why are you predicting this?
Because it's going to get ugly quick. We're just starting, and he's got 3 more months before they play their first game. That's not happening.
Over this whole book thing?
This is No. This is just the start. Just the start. We're going to find out all sorts of crazy stuff about this relationship.
It is true. A lot came out yesterday.
A lot did come out. I still think the football field's his sanctuary. So I think he'll be there September 1st, but Al says no.
I 100% will.
So if he does coach September 1st against TCU, Al has to go to a Yankee or Met home game with me on a Saturday. On a Saturday.
Oh my God, Al.
First of all, it's fun. People actually go to games because they're
for
fun.
Him, it's yeah, not.
But that's the point. But that's the point of this.
Right,
well, I offered during the week to knock it out.
Right.
And Eddie told him, don't do that.
All right. So what do you have to give him if Bill Belichick is not coaching?
I have to sit home on a Saturday and not leave the house.
Oh.
And he can't do anything. No housework. He can't do
Which
stuff
gives
with
me anxiety
kids.
Already.
He just has to sit there.
To be quite honest.
He can read or watch TV.
He can read or watch TV.
Or scroll on Instagram and Twitter.
Which,
yeah.
All things he hates for more than a half hour.
God. Half hour, 10 minutes.
Oh man, I hope Bill Belichick coaches for your.
Me too, and plus to get him out to City Field. I was thinking the Bronx, maybe Yankee Stadium would be better.
But do you get to choose?
I'll draw. Yeah, I will choose.
Oh, he's going to choose the Bronx.
It's going to depend on the game and the tickets and all that. Sure.
You have to stay the whole game.
Yo, we're staying the whole game, and he's staying in traffic on the way home.
Right, you can't go like, for 3 innings like Craig Carton used to go.
No.
And just eat the food and leave.
But I will tell him, if this eases things a little bit, the way we do things in my house is, so let's say top of the ninth inning, Yankees are up.
Yeah.
I get out of my seats. We watch from near the where the exit would be. Final out, go. First car out.
Yeah, but then you're missing the traffic. That's part of the joy.
Yeah,
of
well,
sitting
I'm
in
the one driving. No. It's enough.
An hour.
That's enough.
So you're going to have to do this in September then?
Yeah, it would be in September probably, yeah.
We'll have to take a look at the schedules. Does it have to be a day game, or can it be a night game?
No, it's going to be the game I pick on a Saturday.
Oof. Man, you got to get like an 8:45 first pitch.
Yeah, I was thinking more the 4:10 first pitch is better because his morning is shot, his afternoon is shot.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
He doesn't get home till
right, that's a day ruiner. Yeah, you're right, because he's just thinking about it the entire time.
Yes. And again, people actually pay to do this.
Yeah, I'm going to check their schedule here.
If we have a couple of good ones, that would be kind of neat. The NFL did fine Falcons. The Falcons organization, $250K, and their defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, $100,000 for the prank of Shedeur Sanders from Ulbrich's son draft weekend. You got something good for me?
We got a Saturday, September 6th versus Toronto. That's 105.
Okay.
And then you really don't have another
one.
There'll probably be a way the following. Oh, the next two?
Yeah, and then you got the last Saturday of the season.
The last Saturday of the season, which is September 27th. That's a 105 game against Baltimore. So it's one of those two.
Now, give me the Mets because I'd rather go to Citi Field. It's just easier. Well, it's not easy.
But if you really want to torture him, you got to take him to the Bronx.
You're right. I'm still the one driving, though. I don't need to be. Like, I find parking at Yankee Stadium incredibly more difficult than Citi Field.
Yeah, no, it is. Everything is difficult.
It's just, it's hard. So
make him take the train.
I don't want to take the train.
That's something you got to do. Make him take the train.
This is great.
No.
Pop on the 7 train.
I guess we could have done. I mean, the bet's done, so there's nothing we could. But I could have done where I meet him there, making him take the train. But he wouldn't have done that anyway.
All right, wait, we got a Saturday 4:10 against the Nationals.
That's a good one.
Sunday, Saturday, September 20th, 4:10.
Okay. Maybe that'll be it. Mets Nationals. He is a Met fan, so that's kind of better too.
Yeah, you also have a Texas game Saturday, September 13th.
I like the Rangers.
4:10.
Yeah, no, Pebble.
We're talking about Pebble.
If we're doing that, all right, that's out.
Oh, we're not sure yet. We're still working on those dates,
but it could be a different date. But
it's going to be a big September for me.
the month Al quits.
Yeah, right. Because he had to go to a Mets game and to Pebble Beach.
The torture.
Fun for some, not for others.
Oh, my God.
Tonight in Detroit, you got Game 6, Knicks and Pistons. The Knicks up 3-2. In that series, I will save the tie-in because it's going to take a little time to set up, but there is a tie-in between Al and the Warriors and Rockets. We'll get to that next hour. Houston did win 131-116 to stay alive. Golden State still up, though, 3-2 in that series. And I'll have a lot more next hour, too. The Lakers lost to the T-Wolves 103-96. Minnesota wins the series 4-1. But a couple of things in this game, which we'll get to next hour. J.J. Redick. As a topic for sure. LeBron said something very odd, and Kendrick Perkins went after J.J. Redick pretty good. So I will get to all of that and more coming up.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network, 888-808-1019 if you want to join the show.
You know, I came upon something yesterday. I don't know when they did this, but it was hilarious. Brady and Manning are out at Pebble Beach because I know we're talking about going out to Pebble Beach and play golf out there and stay out there and bring Al and Eddie with us. I don't know why, but I guess we're going to bring them with us.
So potentially,
nature hunting or whatever. make pottery somewhere. But so Brady and Manning go to Jim Nance's house out there and they start hitting golf balls onto his roof.
What type of roof does he have?
He's got one of those California Mexican kind of...
What do they call those things? Those
terracotta roof.
Oh, okay.
He's got a
terracotta roof.
Yeah, terracotta roof. And they're hitting balls up there. And it's really actually a very funny piece. I don't know when they did it. I just happened upon it. But you got to check it out on
YouTube. All right. I will definitely watch that. I mean, and you
Brady Manning hits golf balls onto Jim Nance's roof at Pebble Beach.
You want to talk about, bougie, those three guys together hitting golf balls at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, and Peyton and Brady are in their suits.
Yeah.
Hitting golf balls onto his roof.
You were hanging out with Peyton Manning a couple days ago. I know you talked a little bit about it, but do you know, is that going to be like months from now that's going to be produced?
During the football season, one of his Peyton places. And it was pretty cool. We actually talked about some of the older quarterbacks calling their own plays back in the day.
Yeah.
And he wove it into, me doing the no-huddle offense and how offenses have become, very difficult to learn. And, when you talk about a John Gruden-led offense and he's got like 50 words in a play call, it's insane. That's why he was yelling at Jackson Dart, give me a play call, give me a play call, that kind of thing.
Yeah, right, of course, yep.
He's a maniac. I did ask Leroy Butler yesterday if he thought that he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I said, do you think that John Gruden should be able to coach again? And he goes, 100%. He's not a racist. I know a racist. John Gruden is a is a genius when it comes to football. He's a great football coach, and I hope and pray someday that he's able to live his dream, and that's coach at, be the head coach of an NFL football team again.
Yeah, I think what has to happen is, remember like when Steve Sarkisian got in trouble initially, and there was a lot of drinking and stuff was going wrong in his life, and then Saban brought him in and sort of protected him, made him the offensive coordinator, and then he ends up getting a head coaching job after that.
Yeah.
I think that has to happen with John Gruden. Now, different circumstances, but I think similar in the way that it's a big name coach who wants to be a head coach again. I think that there has to be a personality and someone who is well entrenched in their job to absorb that, give Gruden a chance to be an offensive coordinator, and then move on to be a head coach.
Well,
after
he
that.
Did work with the Saints, you know, as a, I guess, a consultant. So he's kind of got his foot back into it a little bit. But anyway, so Peyton and I were doing that, going over this, and then he and I go to the old Bachelor's Three. This is the restaurant that Joe Namath owned, and Pete Rozelle told Joe Namath that, you know, you got to give it up. You can't be hanging out with these people, and you can't be investing in this place.
Yeah.
And Joe Namath actually retired from football for about 6 months and then came to a senses and said, okay, I'm getting out of Bachelor's Three, the restaurant, and I'll go back to playing football. So Peyton and I drove over to where Bachelor's Three was. It's now a CBD store.
Of course it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we went in and, you know, we had some fun in there. And it was an ode to the great Joe Namath and the 1969 season and some of the older quarterbacks.
So was this the Joe Namath 6 month retirement before or after Super Bowl III?
After the Super Bowl.
Okay. Man. I did not know that about his story. I had no idea until he told me.
And, you know, Pete Rozelle, they were so worried about the optics of it from the NFL standpoint because there were known gamblers and the mob was in there with whoever the mob was at the time, you know, that kind of thing.
Who was the mob at the time back then? Was that a Gambino? Was that a Gotti? Was that a...
I don't know. You know? But it was like... I was just telling you about somebody that I... Well, me, Chris Collinsworth, Johnny Bench, and P. Rose owned a restaurant and nightclub in Cincinnati.
Incredible.
Right? So in the late 80s, so 30 years later, we were doing that.
Yeah.
But 30 years prior, Pete Rozelle told Joe Namath, you're either playing football... Or you're doing that.
I mean, it really is amazing if you think about how much that has changed. Like, there was that whole Tony Romo thing where he couldn't do an appearance at a casino.
Well, I had that same problem many a time. Just never made the news. Nobody ever cared about it because we were told by the NFL, you can't go on cruises, you can't do this, you can't do that. If anything to do with gambling, you can't go to Atlantic City, you can't go to Las Vegas, you can't do any of that stuff.
Yeah, well, now... A little bit different.
Yeah, but now they also have serious checks and balances.
Of course. They
know if you're doing something.
No, without a doubt. They are in your phone. They know if you're gambling on something. Obviously, we've seen it with Calvin Ridley and others that have made wagers when they're not supposed to and gotten suspended for it. So, yes, there are checks and balances.
All the leagues have hired outside companies to monitor every single player in every single league.
Let's go to Joe's out in Patchogue. What's going on, Joe?
Boompa and Geo.
What's happening, cuz?
Fellas, got a bit of a dilemma. Need your help. So, took the wife to game 5. Unfortunately, the Knicks lost. Fast forward to today, it happens to be her birthday. Happy birthday, Britt. And got a bit of a dilemma here. Wondering if I can watch the game on my phone at the restaurant, or how do I navigate?
What time is the reservation? When are you going?
7:30 spot.
Oh, who the hell eats at 7:30? Man, you got to eat at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, you got to eat earlier.
Boom, I'm 37, boom. I'm 37.
Yeah, I don't care. Listen, you took her to the game, so she's obviously a Knick fan.
She is.
She's going to want to watch the game, don't you think?
I do.
I mean, wait, you going to a restaurant?
I'm a little nervous to bring it up. You know?
Are you going to like a restaurant without a TV?
There's no TV inside. It's boosh. It's in Brooklyn.
Total bougie.
In Brooklyn? You're going from Patchogue to Brooklyn tonight?
Oh, God.
Well, fellas, I've been Joe from Patchogue for about 20 years on the fan, but I've lived in Brooklyn for about 15, got to be honest.
Oh, okay. All right.
But you're definitely going to get screwed. I mean, you're screwed. If there's no TV and you're going into Brooklyn and some of these, one of these bougie places.
Yeah.
Is this a milestone birthday?
It's 36?
No.
Nah, that's not a milestone.
So watch the game on your phone.
Yeah, come on. Come on. Go earlier 36. And watch the game at home with her. And then have a little sexy time.
Yeah, or I mean, I don't... Sometimes when the birthday lands, it's a Thursday, so Thursdays are acceptable. But the birthday lands on a weekday, you know, you can push it off to the weekend. So what I would do, now that there's a game on Thursday and not on Friday, I would say, hey, why don't we do this on Friday instead? We'll watch the game on Thursday. It's your actual birthday, but we'll celebrate it the next day.
Yeah, but she's like a Knick fan. They went to the playoff game, for God's sake.
So that's why they stay home and they watch the game. They celebrate a little bit at home. Glass of wine or something and go out the next day. You don't have to worry about it.
Or go to this bougie restaurant.
Not on Friday.
They're in their 30s, Saturday. Right? So go to this bougie restaurant early. Leave that place. Go to like a beer garden over there or something. That's got the TVs on with all the other maniac Knick fans.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to handle this as opposed to going to a bougie restaurant with no TVs.
At 7:30.
Yeah, that's just a bad move.
Are they going to have snail or something?
Like, yeah.
A little French restaurant with a little...
Escargot,
yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know the big thing now is the caviar.
Man, the freak up.
Yeah. The big thing now is the caviar bumps. You seen this?
Yeah, they got a caviar store right down here now.
Caviar is huge right now. And they do the caviar bumps, which is very strange.
You like caviar? I know you like caviar.
I hadn't really had it. And then a couple years ago, there were many tins of them.
Yeah, Joe G.
Yeah.
Joe G brought in the old caviar.
And I was like, wow, this is pretty good.
Casamigos and caviar, that's what that was.
Yeah, that was something else. So now I haven't gone back to eating it, but yeah, I mean, I like it. I did like it that day. But yeah, caviar.
You haven't eaten it since?
No. No.
Well, I mean, where are you getting it? You got a caviar place in Sayville?
No, but there's a place, the James, that just opened in Babylon we went to that had a caviar bump. They have a server who'll come around and do martinis at the table and also caviar and a little spoon for you.
Martini and caviar. What the hell's wrong with you?
I didn't get that. I had to get like a burger that night. No, right. I didn't get either the martini or the caviar bump that night. And then the hotel that we just stayed at this past weekend for the black tie event, the Wall Street Hotel. At the bar, caviar bumps.
There you go.
They're everywhere.
How was that hotel, by the way?
I really enjoyed it.
Really? It was nice?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
I heard it was nice.
It was very nice. It just, the only issue is one of the elevators went down on Saturday night, so there was a lot of waiting on the elevator.
The elevators on Saturday night at the Black Tie, for some reason, elevators break down. I have no idea why.
But no, the place was wonderful. And I got to say, the staff really cared. You don't get as much of that these days.
No, I heard the service was great.
So the guy, I forget his name, the guy who ate the donut. But I was glad to give him the donut. But he was, this guy was working his ass off. I saw him there like when we checked in, late at night when we came back, early in the morning when we left.
You think he gets good tips?
He got one for me. He got a real good one for me.
Nice. You gave him $10?
No. No, a little more than that.
Al hates giving tips.
He does. He hates it.
No, I don't like giving expected, like you have to give a tip here, even if my service stinks. I like giving tips to good service.
Tips are to reflect the service that you receive. So yeah. If you get crappy service, don't give a tip.
Right. I agree.
If you get exceptional service.
Love to give a nice tip.
Right.
Yeah, this guy was exceptional. Wasn't there an orchestra you went to and they asked for tips?
Yeah, I paid for tickets for an orchestra that were playing Queen songs. It was a regular, I think it was a $40 ticket. And then at the end they go, we would also like tips if you don't mind. That was weird.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. I mean, I'm sure they're not making a ton of money that night, and the musicians are just bopping around, but still asking for tips is...
Yeah, like if I went to dinner and an orchestra happened to be playing Queen songs, that yes, I would give a tip.
But you paid for a ticket to see them.
Just for that event, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Everybody wants a tip.
Was there singing, or it was just...
No, just violins, violas, and a cello.
Oh. How was it?
It was pretty
cool.
It was cool. Yeah, it was nice. I felt like I was doing like classical music, but also...
See, that's where you have your martinis and caviar, right?
Yeah,
there.
Right there. Yeah. Yep. A little spoonful of caviar, a little martini, extra dirty. Why not?
I mean, I don't even know who you are anymore.
I didn't get it. I told you I did not get it. I didn't get it. You think I just told you.
But you're aware of it now.
Well, it's because it's at these restaurants.
Did you have a caviar bump at the Wall Street Hotel?
I did not, no.
Okay.
I had a couple espresso martinis there.
You know me, man. I don't want to hear about the bougie thing. You know me. I'm a portly villager, the county golf course guy, for God's sakes. You know?
You're a blue-collar guy.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.